radio that's passionate, genuine, personal. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, Dr. Seuss's stories have delighted readers for generations with their fun rhymes and memorable characters. And today on the show, we're going to learn about his life, his creative process, and the impact of his books with biographer Brian J. Jones. Throughout the show, we'll hear songs inspired by Dr. Seuss, and we'll learn about the important messages that Dr. Seuss put into his books. His life was extraordinary, and we're excited to share many details that maybe you never knew before. Dive into the legacy and life of Dr. Seuss with us today on The Children's Hour. Stick with us. The Children's Hour is an independent production of The Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
What was Dr. Seuss's favorite breakfast food?
I don't know. What?
Green eggs and ham.
It's time for The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
One bite.
What if I puke?
It's all right. Open your horizons.
How do I know it ain't poison?
Oh, they're tasty. Just trust me.
They look disgusting.
The Vegans with Sam I Am. You're listening to The Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom with a whole lot of great people. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
And who's with us today?
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
What's up? It's Nico.
Hello, it's Asa.
Hi, it's Max.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hey, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Lucas D.
Hi, it's Kybia.
Hi, it's Killian.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hello, it's Marcel.
I'm pretty excited to be with you today because we're going to be celebrating one of my favorite authors of all time. His name is Dr. Seuss. Anyone else here a big Dr. Seuss fan?
Oh, yes. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Name me some books that you love.
The Cat of the Hat. Horton Hears a Who.
I also really like that one. All the Places You'll Go.
Oh, I love that one.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Oobleck.
The Grinch.
The Cat of the Hat Comes Back. The sequel to The Cat of the Hat that no one knows about yet I've read.
Those are some of the best, and we're going to learn even more with Brian J. Jones. He's written a biography about Dr. Seuss. Plus, we've got Dr. Seuss music and so much more. But first, this is Mike Rayburn. Follow along online at childrenshour.org. Look for Dr. Seuss.
Would not, could not with a fox. Green eggs and ham, green eggs and ham, green eggs, Sam, I am.
Yeah. Theodore Seuss Geisel, widely known by his pen name Dr. Seuss, was born on March 2, 1904 in Springfield, Massachusetts. A prolific writer, poet, and cartoonist, he became famous for his imaginative children's books, many of which were published under the names Dr. Seuss and Theo LeSig, which was his last name spelled backward. Over his lifetime, Geisel wrote and illustrated 46 children's books, including many beloved children's classics like Green Eggs and Ham, The Cat in the Hat, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. His whimsical stories, rhythmic writing, and inventive characters have inspired generations of young readers. His work extended beyond books. Many of his stories were adapted into television specials, movies, Broadway productions, and even animated series. Geisel also contributed to advertising campaigns and served as a political cartoonist for PM, a New York City newspaper. During World War II, he worked for the U.S. Army's Animation Department, co-writing Design for Death, a documentary that later won an Academy Award in 1947. Following the war, Geisel and his wife relocated to La Jolla, California, where he continued his literary career. Some of his most celebrated works come from this period, and they include If I Ran the Zoo, Horton Hears a Who, The Cat in the Hat, I Had Trouble in Getting to Salasalu, and many more. Despite receiving numerous accolades, Geisel never won the Caldecott or Newbery medals. Although he dedicated his life to creating stories for children, he never had any of his own. When asked about this, he would often quip, "You have 'em, I'll entertain 'em." Theodore Seuss Geisel, Dr. Seuss, passed away in 1991 at the age of 87, but his legacy lives on through his stories and their enduring impact on children's literature. Today on the Children's Hour, we're going to celebrate and honor the legendary Dr. Seuss. This is Miss Shirling.
It's the wild, zany, wacky, brainy world of Dr. Seuss, where crazy, kooky images and characters are loose. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the things you'll think. Sit back, have fun, enjoy the ride. Don't let your brain become extinct. Swim in the river Wahoo. Scrooge just so amazing. His characters are wobulous and entertaining. There's the Cat in the Hat, that crazy Lorax, the Grinch who stole Christmas, the birthday honker, Thing 1 and 2, Gerald McBoing Boing, General Genghis Khan Schmitz, Max the Dog, Yertle the Turtle, Horton and the Who's, Bartholomew Cubbins, Daisy and Maisie and JoJo, the Great Birthday Bird, Conrad and Sally and the Wonsler. It's the wild, zany, wacky, brainy world of Dr. Seuss, where crazy, kooky images and characters are loose. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the things you'll think. Sit back, have fun, enjoy the ride. Don't let your brain become extinct.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's a New York Times bestselling biographer of many great people, and we have links put up at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Dr. Seuss. But his most recent book is Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theodor Geisel and the Making of an American Imagination. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Brian J. Jones.
Thank you. It's so great to see all of you here.
How did Dr. Seuss first become interested in drawing?
So Seuss had been drawing his entire life from the time he was a little kid. He had an unusual art style, but he drew on through elementary school. When he was in high school, he would draw for the newspaper and he would draw cartoons. And that continued on through college. There was sort of a almost like a Mad magazine. There was a comedy magazine at the college that he went to that he would draw for. But the important moment comes along when he is at school in England. And he's taking notes in his notebook, and he would really rather be doing anything other than be taking notes. And that notebook is just filled with drawings. And there was a young woman sitting next to him named Helen who said, you know, somebody like you who's doing all those drawings, what are you doing in this class? Like, why do you want to be an English teacher? You should be drawing for a living. He ended up marrying her. She's the one that really inspired him to, like, try to make a living as an artist. He really starts out that way, submitting cartoons to a lot of the magazines, and does very well with that. But really got in because the woman sitting next to him said, God, those drawings, they don't look like anything else. What are you doing here? You should try to draw for a living.
Why did he change his name? I know he was originally called Theodor Geisel, and then at one point he used the pen name Theo Lessig, and then Dr. Seuss. Like, why did he do that?
So, first of all, Lessig, if you notice, is the name Geisel spelled backwards. Yeah. So that's a name he would write under sometimes. When he first started drawing cartoons, he would sign his real name. But when he was in college, he started sort of playing around with different names. At one point, he signs a cartoon Louis Pasteur, which is a famous scientist. And at one point, just signed a cartoon Seuss. Now, the other thing you have to remember is he's German. Seuss is actually pronounced Zeus in German. But Seuss said that he liked that people thought of it as Seuss because it put him close to Mother Goose. So when you're saying Seuss, you're saying it correctly. But the German pronunciation is actually Zeus. But he would sign the cartoon Seuss. And then later on, when he was submitting cartoons for the magazine, he submitted a cartoon that he wanted people to take it very seriously. He was being very funny, but he was trying to sound like he was very smart. So the way you make yourself sound very smart is you sign yourself Dr. Seuss, not just Seuss. So that was the first time he ever put the word doctor in front of his name. And he must have really liked it because he never stopped using it after that.
What inspired Dr. Seuss to start writing children's material?
The first book he decided he wanted to write was the book that became And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. He was riding on a boat, and that was the sound the motor made, was that ba-da-dun, da-da-dun, da-da, that very regular rhythm inspired him to take on that rhythm for Mulberry Street. But up until that time, he was primarily drawing cartoons for Bug Spray and things like that. Very, very good at it, but hadn't really written any kids' books, but got inspired to do it because someone else had asked him to illustrate a book they were working on, and he thought, wow, that's really great. I would like to do more of these. That first book was just kind of him doing it because he hadn't done it before. Seuss really didn't hit it big until he was in his 50s. Before that, he was writing books for children that were selling okay, but he had to work a day job. He was still doing advertising and like doing little fixes in movies and trying to do things like that. But he finally hits it big in 1957 when he's 53 years old with The Cat in the Hat. That becomes his first big book. And that's when he sort of becomes, that's why I called the book Becoming Dr. Seuss, because that's sort of the moment he can start doing children's books full time. With Cat in the Hat, one of the reasons that book is so iconic and so huge and that people still read it is because it had done something that no children's book had done before. When he was writing that book, he was writing it for classrooms, for books they would put in front of you guys in the class to teach you how to read. And Seuss at that point said, the books you're handing to kids in the classrooms are so boring. No one wants to read them. And so somebody told Seuss, well, you should write one, but because this is going to be in a classroom, you have to use words that teachers say you can use. So you can't just write anything. You have what they call an educator-approved word list. And it's about 300 to 400 words. So Seuss, when he was writing Cat in the Hat, it took him a while because he had to work within the limits of that word list. But when he did, teachers loved it because they could put that in the classroom in front of students and say, this is a vocabulary book. You're actually learning how to read. Believe it or not, Seuss had a mission with this. And more than anything else, parents loved reading it with their kids. And that's what makes that book so important. That's how he becomes an icon, is because everybody wanted to read it, not just the kids, not just the teachers, everybody.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's written a biography on Dr. Seuss called Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theodore Geisel, and the Making of an American Imagination. Today on the Children's Hour, we're learning about the extraordinary life of Dr. Seuss. Stick with us.
Oh, be kind to your small person friends, every who may be somebody's mother. To every who on every speck, any one of them may likely be a brother. Oh, be kind to your small person friends, as we float around from one place to another. Remember, no matter how small, that a person is a person is a person is a person. That a person is a person after all.
Dusty, musty throats to let out gusty, lusty notes. It's good for people, frogs, and goats to open up and sing.
It's good for tongues and necks and knees of people, bees, and chimpanzees.
So if by chance you're one of these, open up, open up.
From the original movie soundtrack of The Lorax, you're hearing the Truffle of Valley Fantasy. Let Us All Sing is from the Dr. Seuss Presents The Cat in the Hat Songbook. And the Seussettes from Songs from Dr. Seuss gave us Be Kind to Your Small Person Friends. We're learning about Dr. Seuss today on the Children's Hour. You can learn more with us at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Dr. Seuss.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based educational nonprofit that is supported by listeners just like you. You can learn how you can help make Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science supports the Children's Hour and is proud to unveil a new hall featuring hundreds of never-before-seen fossils. Learn more at nmnaturalhistory.org.
else your life stands still afloat. Better bring the real and stop your show. Come as you is, come as you are. Live in the heart, don't venture far. All of this I like to sing. It doesn't matter anyway. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, black fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish. Dr. Seuss says none can prove this, but I know it's what the truth is. So many flavors now and later. Some are strangers, some are neighbors. Same situation, different view. Got my opinions, how about you? Well, I like to say it doesn't matter.
That was Trevor Hall with Dr. Seuss right here on the Children's Hour, where we're learning about Dr. Seuss with biographer Brian J. Jones. His latest book is called Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theodor Geisel, and the Making of an American Imagination. He's here at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico with us, and the kids have a lot more questions for him.
What do you think it is that sets Seuss's books apart from other children's books?
What books for children were like when Seuss first started writing, it was a lot of books about how you all need to be well-behaved people and you need to learn lessons and act like good children. And Seuss was like, no kid wants to read that. Nobody wants to read that. So Seuss is the one that starts writing books kids want to read. I mean, what's one of the things that when you're reading Dr. Seuss and why parents love to read Dr. Seuss? It's that rhyme scheme. There's never a moment when you're reading his work where you have to try to figure out how to pronounce a word to make it fit the rhyme. He's very careful about making sure as you're reading along and you're galloping in that rhythm, you never have to stop and figure out how the word is pronounced. If you have to say it refrigerator, and just say instead of just saying refrigerator. He has this really great moment where they ask him to go teach a class to other people who want to write for children and explain how he works and what he thinks makes a great children's book. Seuss tells this classroom full of students, kids deserve to have great books. They deserve to have books written for them. They deserve to have books written in their language. And he was telling people at the time in the late 40s, he said, you know, everybody's reading comic books and comic books are your competition. And people are reading comic books because children's books are kind of boring. You need to start writing great children's books. Also, Seuss's books don't look like anything else. I mean, you always have people who will talk about drawing in the Dr. Seuss style. We all kind of know what that means, even if we can't explain it. He really did something special for kids. And what was even better, his parents loved it too. So I think that makes his work really timeless, even today.
What inspired Dr. Seuss to draw what he does?
You know, Seuss is very funny about that because he always claimed that he was trying to draw things realistically and they came out wrong. Now, his wife wasn't sure she bought that, but Seuss just said this is just the way he draws. He said he sat down at one point and tried to draw, I think, a baby tiger, and it came out looking the way a Seuss cartoon looks. So he just said, this is the way I think things look. Somebody asked him at one point about the Lorax and the way the Lorax looked, because Seuss had said at some point, I considered making him like a big robot. I didn't know if he was going to be fat. I didn't know if he was going to be tall. And then I drew a picture of him. And of course, that was just the way he looked. That was the Lorax. So Seuss just thought that some things just happen naturally. You draw a Lorax that way because that's what they look like. When he was doing his books, a lot of times he would actually break a piece of crayon and send it to Random House and say, this is the color green that I must have in here. That's how important color was to him. Can anybody tell me in the original book of The Grinch, the 1957, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what color is the Grinch in that book?
Green.
White.
White. White and red.
There you go. Seuss only uses one color in that book because it was too expensive to print books in color, and it's red. So he puts the red in the Grinch's eyes and things, and the Santa suit, and the Grinch is not colored in it. The reason we all go with green is because of the cartoon that they did in the 60s. They picked that color green because it was the color of the rental car he had been driving all over California while they were working on it. But the green comes from the cartoon.
Do you think Dr. Seuss's works really fundamentally changed how other children's authors wrote?
Absolutely. And I think that Seuss sort of created the children's book market. Seuss is the one that shows you that if you do it right, you can get the kids, the teachers, and the parents. And once Seuss figured that out and starts not just his own books, but there's that whole stream of books called the beginner books. And that's where Fox and Socks comes from. And Are You My Mother? Books like that creates this whole industry. And in fact, at one point, it was the most profitable arm of Random House was the children's book section.
Our guest today on the Children's Hour is Brian J. Jones. He's a biographer. He's written a biography about Dr. Seuss, and that's who we're talking about today, and that's who we're learning about today. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
No, no, no.
That's Lindsay Sterling featuring Sabrina Carpenter right here on the Children's Hour with your mean one, Mr. Grinch. We're thinking about Dr. Seuss today on the Children's Hour, and our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's an American biographer who's written biographies on lots of cool people, including Jim Henson, George Lucas, Washington Irving, and his latest is on Dr. Seuss, and it's called Becoming Dr. Seuss, Theater Geisel, and the Making of an American Imagination.
How do you think Seuss's childhood affected his later career in writing and illustrating children's books?
I think part of it is Seuss comes from a German family. Almost everybody in his family spoke German fluently. And Seuss, as a child, loved to sit at the top of the stairs when all the adults were gathering and listen to them talk. And one of the really interesting things about speaking German is German words, if you want to make them more descriptive, you don't add words. You just keep adding letters to the end of a German word and make these words that are huge, you know, 35 letters long. A lot of German words sound like they could have been written by Dr. Seuss. I think that that language itself really amused him. I think that gave him part of that interesting ear he's got for words and for that knack he's got for making up words. I mean, take a word like Grinch. Grinch sounds like a word that's been around forever. Not invented in 1957. I mean, you hear Grinch and like, we know what that means. It's like the word Scrooge. You kind of know what that means when you hear it. Seuss had this real knack for being able to pick these nonsense words that sounded like what they were. And I think part of that came out of listening to his family members speak in German. I think that really influenced the way he played with language.
Given the fact that Seuss was a German-American, how do you think living in America and seeing the events of the Holocaust affected his writing?
So before even America got into World War II, Seuss was drawing cartoons for a very progressive newspaper in New York City called PM. He was living out in California, and he would draw them in the morning and put them in the mail and have them whizzed off to the East Coast to be published the next day. And he saw Hitler's number early on. He knew that guy was trouble. So he has a lot of cartoons trying to tell Americans, this is a bad guy. We should get involved in this. This is also a time when people said, we don't need to be fighting in the war overseas. And Seuss was saying, we should probably get involved because this guy is really bad news. So Seuss saw that going on very early and drew cartoons for about 3 years. And he has some really effective and kind of haunting pictures about the treatment of Jews in Europe at that time under Hitler. So he really got it. I mean, he had a very progressive view of tech that got him in a lot of trouble. And I think you'll see sort of Seuss's human side in the way he approaches humanity and the way we treat you in a book like The Sneetches, where ultimately the message of that book is it doesn't matter if you've got a star on your stomach or not, you know, we all deserve to be treated the same way. I think that really was driven home just from being a German kid even. He was growing up during World War I even, and he had stories about walking home from school and having other kids throwing coal at him and saying terrible things to him because he was from a German family and the Germany was involved in World War I as well. So he had actually lived that experience of being discriminated against for being German.
Our guest is Brian J. Jones. He's an American biographer. He has written many books, but his latest is about Dr. Seuss. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
We can all remember when we were young. There were those that had it and those who had none. Oh, yeah, struggling to find the space in between. Four eyes and glasses and the homecoming queen. You may be competing, but there's no prize when you're trying to be someone that you barely recognize. Oh, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin. Don't you let him win. When you look around, at all of the people in your life that never put you down. And where are those people you're working so hard to impress? Don't you know that the homecoming queen is just a girl in a dress?
When you look around at all the people that you love, they're the ones dancing to the beat of their own drum. Oh, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin. Don't you let them win, 'cause it's cool not to fit in. So go a little crazy, don't you fear, 'cause it's cool to be weird. Oh yeah,
it's cool to be weird.
It's cool to be weird.
Mislaid a certain something, keep your cool and don't get hot. Calculatus Eliminatus is the best friend that you've got. Calculatus Eliminatus always helps an awful lot. The way to find a missing something is to find out where it's not. It isn't here, I'll mark this X. It isn't there, I'll mark that Y. It isn't underneath the apple, mark the apple HKI.
It isn't in this keyhole.
No.
And it isn't on my knee.
Mark the keyhole, K300. Mark the knee, 57B. We just jot down all the places where it isn't. And gee whiz, very shortly we will locate where the missing object is.
It isn't here.
842J.
It isn't there.
F607. You can mark the piano, 22,000 decimal point 11.
It isn't in the icebox.
That's strange.
It's not on this TV.
Icebox 024.5, TV 1,000,003. When you've mislaid a certain something, keep your cool, don't go to pot.
Calculatus Eliminatus is the best friend that you've got.
Calculatus Eliminatus always helps an awful lot.
The way to find a missing something is to find out where it's not.
That was Alan Sherman right here on the Children's Hour from Cat in the Hat and Calculatus Eliminatus, and recorded back in 1971. Tyshawn before that with It's Cool to Be Weird. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about Dr. Seuss. You can learn more and follow along with our playlist at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Dr. Seuss.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
After all of those years being stuck on a page, did you ever imagine you'd see me on stage? Now I'm here, there's no telling what may ensue. Though there's no telling what. But I'll give you a clue. Oh, the things you can think. Oh, the things you can think. If you're willing to try. Think invisible ink, or a kink with a stink, or a stare to the sky. If you open your mind, oh, the things you will find, lining up to get loose. Oh, the things you can think when you think about Seuss.
Think a beautiful schlop
with a cherry on top.
You don't need an excuse. All the things you can think when you think about Seuss.
Think of an elephant stuck in a tree. Think of a person too tiny to see.
Think of a bird with a one feather tail.
Going on adventure down a dangerous trail.
Think of a bird who flies off on a spree.
Think of a kangaroo there at campaign.
Think of a general crazy for war.
Think of a cat who pops up at your door.
How do you do and hello? I'll be running the show. I'm your host and MC.
He's your host and MC.
I'll pop up here and there.
And you'll never know where, who or what he might be. You'll see.
Take a tip from the cat and hold on to your hat.
Cause this ain't Mama Goose. All the things you can think when you think about Seuss.
An unusual story will soon be unfurled of an elephant trying to save a small world and a boy from that world who has troubles galore.
Just think, from the planet of Ku
and the smallest of small
to the jungle of Nu
and the largest of all.
You think and think and think. Thinking, wondering, dream far and wide as you dare.
All the things you can think
when your things have run dry. In the blink of an eye, there's another thing there. If you open your mind, all the things you will find lining up to get loose. All the things you can think,
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 all the things you can think when you think about soon.
From Seussical the Musical, that's Oh, the Thinks You Can Think, which is a great Dr. Seuss book. We're learning about Dr. Seuss today on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone here at the Outpost Performance Space with Brian J. Jones and our kids crew. Brian is a biographer, and he's written a biography about Dr. Seuss. We have a little bit more time with you, Brian, and the kids still have questions.
I was just wondering if any Dr. Seuss's books have, like, maybe a political message or some other, like, message that's deeper than just the story itself.
You have to be careful with him because he says a lot of the times that he writes books that he does not put messages into. Now, you can read a lot of his books with messages, but I can tell you some of them that he was deliberately putting messages into. One of them is Horton Hears a Who. That was his book about, as he said later, about the power of the individual as a voter. You know, they don't make themselves heard until every voice is heard. They're screaming. So Horton can prove that the Whos exist. They're all screaming, screaming, screaming. And one little boy finally says, yowp, and they hear it. Seuss said later, that's your vote. Your vote is your yowp. Make your yowp heard. The Grinch actually is one of his message books, because Seuss was in advertising, and part of his job as an advertiser is to tell you that you should be buying things for Christmas. And Seuss said that one day he looked at himself in the mirror the day after Christmas and didn't know who this was looking back at him so crabby, and realized it was himself. And the message of that book is Christmas is about something more than what you give to people, which was, I think, a lesson Seuss himself had learned. Being in advertising, he was telling people Christmas came from a store. And the Grinch finds out that it's about something more. The Lorax is one where he's definitely deliberately got a message, which is stop cutting down all the trees. The other book that he wrote that's very messagey is the Butter Battle Book. Which this was at a time when like two countries didn't like each other very much and were constantly staring each other down. And the Butter Battle Book is about one side that butters their bread on one side and then the other side butters their bread on the other. And they're building all these machines that they're pointing at each other to see who's going to change the way they butter their bread. Very deliberate and a sort of a terrifying book, at least when I read it. I mean, I think I was a teenager when I read it. It was a pretty terrifying book.
I've read it once and, like, it was pretty disturbing. Like, it literally ended with those two having these, like, hand-sized atomic bombs that they're going to drop on each other.
All because the bread was buttered on the
wrong side.
We've learned so much with you, Brian J. Jones. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour and teaching us about Dr. Seuss.
Certainly. Thank you so much. This has been fun. Thanks, guys.
Was a man of remarkable wit who could find words that rhymed and then make them all fit into stories that tantalized, tickled, and teased with fantabulous pictures that playfully pleased. He wrote about oobwacks and rockets and zoos and hunches and punches and Horton and Who's. His style was whimsical, wacky, and wild, and now he's a hero to every child.
We will never outgrow. Now we know all the places we'll go.
ABC! Dr. Seuss!
Wrote the story of Mulberry Street.
Dr. Seuss!
Green eggs and ham that no one would eat.
Dr. Seuss!
Gave an account of Pickwick the Big Hearted Moose.
We love Dr. Seuss!
Introduced the cat in the hat.
Dr. Seuss!
A sweet top nest where an elephant inside. Of creatures and set them loose. Tell me what was the tweed that the Lorax could save, and why did the Onceler refuse to behave? Do you know what is there in McGillicott's pool? Have you read of the yolk with the kickapoo-doo? When you dance to the beat of the butter up band, do you feel for the Grinch in that faraway land? Can you see what was wrong with the store-bellied Snitch? Do you get that each book has a lesson to teach?
With Hop and Pop and Fox and Socks, we stand and shout. He made us laugh, so we have to sing about
ABC!
Dr. Seuss wrote the story of Mulberry Street.
Dr. Seuss
green eggs and ham that no one would eat.
Dr. Seuss
gave an account of Pickwick the Big-Hearted Moose. The cat in the hat. A treetop nest where an elephant sat. Created dozens of creatures and set them loose. One, two, three, four. Who's the writer we adore?
Peter Geisel, he's the one. He made beating so much fun.
created dozens of creatures and set them loose.
Dr. Seuss.
fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish, black fish, blue fish. This one, he's got a little star. This one, he's got a little car. Oh my, what a lot of fish there are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. Some are old and some are new, some of them they sing the blues. Some are sad and some are mad, well, some are very, very bad. But why are they sad and glad and bad and sad and glad and bad and sad and glad and bad? I don't know, but go ask my dad. No, 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 no. There's no limits, no, 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 no. There's no limits, no, 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 no.
Fish is something underground from We Came to Get Down, and Jonathan Sprout from American Heroes number 4 brought us his Dr. Seuss song. I'm Katie Stone. You've been listening to the Children's Hour, and today we've been learning about Dr. Seuss. We've posted links and pictures and other information about Dr. Seuss and the American Library Association's annual Dr. Seuss Day, which falls every year on March 2nd, which is Dr. Seuss's birthday. Find it all at childrenshour.org. Look for Dr. Seuss. We're going to go out with one more. This is Tim Harrison from Gray County with So Long, Dr. Seuss. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
So long, Dr. Seuss. We loved what you had to say. Although they tried to take your voice away, it's still clear today, Dr. Seuss. So long, Dr. Seuss. We know important things were always said. Though Tinseltown would take them, now you're dead. They always miss the point, Dr. Seuss. Trinkets and baubles did not catch your eye. And those who read, you know that's no surprise. You did your work without commercial eyes. But with all of your heart, your soul and your mind.
bubbles and bobbles did not catch your eye. And those in regional, that's no surprise. You did your work without commercial eyes. But with all of your heart, your soul and your mind. So long, Dr. Seuss. Your wisdom stays, although you had to go. Change and forgiveness in your verses flow. So we know you're okay, Dr. Seuss. We know you're okay, Dr. Seuss. With love in your heart, Dr. Seuss.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of the Children's Hour was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, and we had production help from Sarah Gabrielli and Daniel Lentz. A recording engineer at Outpost is Chad Shear. Many thanks to Brian J. Jones for joining us today on the Children's Hour.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.